You know, sometimes you just have to speak the word, yes? Yes, yes, yes. And I wanted him to know that we are certainly with him and holding him in our hearts each and every day. I know the power of God at work. I know the power of God at work. So, but listen, tomorrow we're going to be celebrating, what? Veterans Day. And you know, as always, we like to really acknowledge and offer thanksgiving to all those who have served our nation via the armed forces. So if you are a veteran, would you please stand? Thank you so much for your service. You know, it's an honor and a sacrifice to give of your time and your talents and sometimes even your life in service to your country. And the people who do that are usually the people who do so because there's a call for them to want to preserve and protect our freedoms and culture as a nation. I thought it was so interesting that the divine daily word for today was freedom. Freedom. And I know that there are many who may feel today that those very freedoms and customs and rights are in jeopardy. And we aren't even at war with another country. And yet I know that there are many, not everybody, but I know that there are some who feel that something feels amiss to them. And yet we aren't really being threatened by some outside force or another country. Yet many people today feel vulnerable that the possibility of threat may come from within. Within our country, within our nation, within our governing bodies, within our neighbors, within our friends, within our family. It's no secret that our country is divided, and it couldn't be more noted than this last election for the presidency of the United States. And I couldn't help but thinking that we are quickly moving into the divided states of America. One candidate stoked fear, hatred, racism, and untruth. Now, this is not my personal opinion, but this is something that I've seen with my personal being. Stoked fear and hatred and racism and untruth, while the other candidate promoted joy, love, peace, oneness, and a plan for a brighter day for tomorrow for all people in this country, for everybody. And it felt like to me that it was love versus fear, and fear won. Or light versus darkness, and darkness won. Inclusion versus exclusion, and exclusion won. And to say that I was baffled, shattered, disappointed, devastated, heartbroken is to say a lot. But the least of it says to me is that I felt I was in utter shock that more than half of this country is okay with the demonstration of ideals and behaviors that are on the lower end of the spectrum of human decency, of morality, of character, of honesty, fairness, equality, and basic humanity. That is what blew my mind. Could it be that more than half of the country believe that it's perfectly okay that a person sitting in the highest position of our country is void of all those things? How could that be? And how could that happen? Now, I have some theories about how I think it could happen, but I'm not going to share my real one with you. Because I'm mulling over what I want to do with that and those feelings. But there's another thing that I think enabled it to happen. It's when fear is allowed to override and overrun our sensibilities. When fear plays into certain concepts or thoughts, like there's not enough to go around. And so when fear is stoked to have people feel that there's not enough to go around, then we can have our sensibilities askewed. Or it can happen when people believe that someone else, someone who doesn't look like me or look like them or prays like them or worships like them could somehow might get what is rightfully theirs. It plays into the not enoughness, the scarcity meme. But if somebody else is going to get what I think is rightfully mine, that could add to why it happened. It could also be that people have been misled to believe that difference is bad, that diversity is bad. And so if I see that things are moving in a place in a way that will bring everybody together, this is not a good thing. We're living in an upside down world. Or it could happen when you mistakenly believe that your race might be eliminated or attacked or threatened because you're told that everybody else is coming in and they're going to take what's yours, your jobs, and they're going to overrun your cities with violence and crime, and you're going to be threatened and helpless. And so when you buy into the fear on that level, then all of a sudden and you feel threatened, somehow then you must feel that you must reign supreme. You must be in control and you must have all the power. That's how it could happen. Fear is such a powerful emotion and it plays to our basic instincts for survival. Because if somebody convinces you that you are threatened, your life, your way of being is somehow threatened, then the base instinct that is provoked by fear kicks in. I've got to survive by any means necessary. This is how it could happen. But here's the thing. There's a sign that we can move towards a higher way of expression and evolution. When all of a sudden, when our ability to tap into a higher expression overrides our fear. And that higher expression could be love, because it's just as powerful as fear, and I would say maybe even more so, right? But I tell you, it takes a lot to choose love when fear is present. It takes a lot, okay? But if we are able to somehow find it within us to actually choose love, to open up to the possibility of love, guess what will happen? Fear will dissipate. It'll dissipate. Because even the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Now we think, well, how is that possible? Well, it says perfect love, not our limited human concept of love, but there must be a higher order of love that has this ability in this to cast out a lower vibration of fear and hatred and separation. Perfect love cast out fear. So if we could somehow manage to open up to this perfect love, then the fears that we have will dissipate. But it takes a lot to choose that when fear is present. And so we've seen that. But this is the time, friends, this is the time for all of us to begin to practice touching, tapping into our higher vibrations, those higher vibrations that will come forth when confronted with the lower ones. And this is important for us to remember as light bearers, truth students, spiritual beings, awakened ones. We've got to be able to have the ability to tap into the higher vibration when that lower energy wants to pull you in. So this is a task that we have been called to. This is our moment. This is our time, right? This is our testing ground. Because this moment's going to separate the weak from the strong, right? From those who are really trying to do the right thing to bring light and from those who are taking another path. This is going to be the moment for our nation and our country. And it's going to take a lot from us. Dr. Martin Luther King said we have to have the strength to love. Because loving everybody ain't easy. Okay? But he said it takes strength to love. And Jesus, the master teacher and wayshower, will put it this way. He said that we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And some scriptures say those who despitefully use you. Now that's a tall order. I'm like, come on, Jesus. That's a tall order, especially when everything in you wants to do the opposite of that, right? Doing the opposite in love, ain't it? That's a tall order. But Jesus said it for a reason, because this, think about it this way. If we don't use our abilities to rise up higher, to come from a higher position and a higher place, if we don't do that, like love your enemies, forgive those who pray for you, prosecute you, all of that stuff. If we don't do that, there is a high chance that we will become just like them. Full of hatred, because I could go there. Full of compassionlessness, selfishness, greed, ruthlessness, right? Because I might feel like I want to get in there and just duke it out, right? Or become like whatever it is that you think caused you to see them as your enemy. You can become just like that. There's a quote that says that the oppressed become like the oppressor. Have you heard that quote? It's easy for the oppressed to become like the oppressor. So, you know, I love these things. I have it on here and then it just disappears. So I'm going to do this. Quote, the oppressed becomes like the oppressor. And let's see what comes up. It was a quote by this gentleman, but this is good. I'll read this. It says, the oppressed, instead of striving for liberation, tend themselves to become oppressors. Become, in turn, oppressors of the oppressed, but rather restores the humanity of both. So I had a great quote from the gentleman who actually, here it is. I'll read that. Okay, bear with me, this is technology. So he says, this is a gentleman named Paulo Freire. He writes, the oppressed, instead of striving for liberation, tend themselves to become oppressors. He's showing how instead of choosing to be, people previously oppressed turn into the people doing the oppression, right? Oppression is described as a prolonged or cruel or unjust treatment or control. And what this other quote that I had said, that they strive, the oppressed would then strive to adopt the consciousness, and I like that word, to adopt the consciousness of the oppressed, because they're looking and they're seeing, wow, this is what the oppressed does and gets. I want to have that too. I want to be like that. I want to have freedom, and I want to have the niceties, and I want to have money. I want to have wealth. I want to have these things. And so they, in consciousness, begin to want to strive to be like that so they can what? Get those things, have those things. And this is the precise reason I think that people will willingly vote against their own best interest. Because I want to somehow, I don't want to be in this position. I want to be in that position. So to be in that position, I must try to be like them. It's a very tricky thing of why I think people would vote against their own best interest, or people who have self-hatred toward themselves or their own race. So they sometimes, you know, I look like, what do they say? All kinfolk ain't all skin folk ain't kinfolk. You know, sometimes people want to, you know, do the opposite, because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to have that experience. I mean, who wants to be cast down? Who wants to be? Nobody wants to be in that group. But you got to watch that. This is why Jesus said, look, I'm telling you a way out of you becoming that. You better learn how to love, or to work with, or to elevate, or to see your enemy in a different capacity, but you can't get on the same level, or you become like them. So we have to understand then, what is this quality of love versus fear? And I want us to have understand this, that love is not a sign of agreement or passivity or inactivity. You know, I think, well, I don't want to love them because I want to do something. You know, we think, oh, if I love my neighbor, if I love in a certain way, then that means I'm agreeing with their behavior. I'm agreeing with their thoughts, and I'm agreeing with their policies and perceptions. Or if I'm loving, then I really must be a pacifist and I really can't do anything. Uh-uh. Love is a revolutionary energy. It does not mean that. Because true love, as an energy and as a force, allows you to move and act from a higher perspective. It doesn't mean that you don't act, but you act from what? A higher perspective, which means that the things that you choose to do are going to come from a better place, a more effective place. It enables you to meet whatever is before you with greater power. You see, if you don't have that love, you're going to come from anger and all that. That lowers your vibration. It lowers your power. It lowers your ability to be effective. So when you're coming from that higher sense, this higher love, this divine love, then all of a sudden, you're going to act differently from a different place, because love is a transformational force. It is a transformational force it's an expression of God. Now think about it. God is the highest force, the greatest force in the universe, right? So when you're coming, and the Bible clearly says God, love is of what? Is of God. So when you're choosing love from that perspective, you are choosing to work in the God energy, the God force, the God power. And that changes everything. Because eventually, when you're coming from that higher purpose and expression of divine love, God power, God energy, then everything that is less than it eventually must come into alignment. Love from that level empowers you. It doesn't take from you. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the other person. See, we think of the other, I think I can't love because I can't love them. But you're not asked to really love them. You're asked to be the expression of divine love. And it will empower you, it'll transform you, it'll heal you, it'll strengthen you, it'll give you energy, wisdom, or whatever, how to deal with your situations and your circumstances. So this understanding of love and how to really use it, because it's a transformational force that we can use. Understanding the real nature of it is key for us. It's going to enable us to do and handle whatever shenanigans life brings you. And life has brought us some shenanigans right now. That's what I'm calling it for the time being. Well, that's what I'm calling it in front of you all. Because I'm called as a minister to try to inspire and to bring you hope. So I don't want to give you all of my stuff. Even my mother asked, "Are you going to say that?" I said, "No, I'm not going to say that." She said, "Good." So, but also this whole thing of understanding love and its power and our ability to use it in these spiritual principles, it's also going to help us to tap into another great force. Love is a great force, but there are others as well. And that grace force that if you can step up, it enables you to tap into what I call the force, the ability to hope. To hope. And for me, I had to start at hope because I wasn't really ready for love, loving my enemies. But I could latch on to this concept of hope because I kept saying, you know, there has to be a brighter day. Because like everybody, I was feeling some kind of way. And in order for me to be kept from descending into despair or anger or grief and numbness, which I've had all of those experiences, I'm just telling you my own personal experience. I've had all that, but I didn't want to keep descending into those vibrations. And so I had to find a way out. And I needed hope. I needed hope. That there was going to be a brighter day, that there was something that was going to bring us to another level, and that I would still be okay. Even with things, I don't know how they're going to unfold, but however that I would still be okay. And I had to remember that wonderful line from the movie, you all probably are familiar with it, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, where the character says, "Everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. It's not the end." So this is not the end, folks. This is just the beginning of our work. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And there may be some rough times, but the light will overcome the darkness. At some point, that's the spiritual law. I may not be around to see it. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. It's going to come. The scripture says that which is done in the dark will be revealed in the light. So, you know, whether I think there was some stuff done in the dark, it will be revealed in the light. It's going to come at some point, because that's in due season. Remember I talked about things happening in due season. So we don't want to fear not, and you have all this energy of fear, and let's know that we can continue. In the meantime, while all this stuff begins to play out for us, we have to let hope spur us forward. Because hope, just like love, it's a different quality. You know, hope is an energy that pushes us through. Hope is an energy that allows us to persevere, to gain more inroads, to make more inroads, to effect change, to keep. It's an energy that pushes. Because let me tell you, if we didn't have hope, then there would be no reason to get up in the morning. We would literally, a life without hope on any level, literally we will die. We'll give up. We won't have the will to live. If you wake up and you say, "I'm guaranteed that my life is going to be miserable from here on in, and there's nothing I can do about it," why would you get up and try to move about? You just lay there and say, "All right." Hope is an energy, just like love is an energy. It's a transformational force. And when we have it, it moves us. It pushes us. It says, "Get up. Do something. Get up. Be higher in your own thinking and feeling. Engage with life. Make the changes. What can you do? Hope lets us do all of those things because it's not some whimsy wish. Just like love isn't just some sentimental feeling. I'm talking spiritual energies and principles. And hope is a spiritual force. Hope is a spiritual energy that carries with it the progressive movement of God. Hope comes from God. There's a saying that says, you know, my hope is in God. My hope comes from God. My expectations come from God. And we've been so used to having these watered down qualities of love. It's a watered down quality that we miss the power of divine love. And same thing with hope. We get this watered down, oh, hope, oh, I hope it happens. No, 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 no. Hope isn't some wishy-washy wishing. It's a powerful, positive expectation of good. When you have an expectation of good, you're having a what? An expectation of God. So I'm going to have an expectation. I don't know how. You know, there's a song on YouTube that people are singing, I don't know how, but God's going to do it. I don't know how. I don't know the way, but I do know that God is going to always bring about the rightness and the righteousness of life. God's going to do it, right? But we as metaphysicians, truth students, healers, light bearers, we've got to start using these spiritual beings, the spiritual qualities or principles and laws of being. It's time for us to, you know, get out there and have the hope, but it's a hope, it's a different kind of hope. It's a hope with the assurance that God is on the job. It's the assurance that, okay, let me get quiet, let me get settled, let me listen, let me hear, let me be moved, let me take this hope and be progressed forward, onward, upward. What? Okay, what's now? What's next? Okay, this thing has happened, but what's next? It ain't the end. What do I have to do? What is mine to do? You see, and when we have that kind of energy flowing through us, then we begin to effect change. We've got to learn how to activate this hope in our being and in our hearts. Activate the hope. And this is the kind of thing, it's not hope in people. It's not, because I had hope in some people and wow. The people let me down. I don't really believe that because I think, like I said, other things are afoot. But it's not hope in people, places, or things. You place your hope where? In God. Because if you do it, people, places, and things, there's going to be an opportunity for you to be disappointed. We must place our hope in God because God is the only sure thing to bring about God's essence, which is what? Absolute good. And so we've got to learn how to activate this concept, but also to place our hope, our faith, our conviction, our beliefs in God. Listen to some of the things that it says in the scriptures. Psalms 42, verse 11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him, my Savior, my God. That's the King James Version. And Message puts that same scripture verse this way. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Ah, why are we crying the blues? Ain't got time to be crying the blues. We got work to do. And here's another particular scripture, and this is from Psalms 146. Verses 1 through 10, and I'll read the New Living Translation. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God. Don't forget, Psalms is about praises and singing, okay? So singing all my with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. They can't take all the money. They can't take whatever they think they're trying to get. They can't take it with them. He says, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners amongst us. He cares for the orphans and the widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout generations. It's a promise for us. This is a promise for us that God is on the case. We have to be open and receptive to hear and to be guided as to what is ours to do and how God wants to move to us. We've got to activate some things in our own being. This is one of my quotes on hope that I like, and it comes from a gentleman named Jamar Tisby, and he says, in a world of despair, cultivating hope is a revolutionary act. I love that, right? Cultivating hope is a revolutionary act because it's going to turn things around. That's what a revolution is. You're turning something around. When you have hope and you activate and you cultivate hope in your own being, you have the power to turn things around. That's a powerful thing. So we cannot lose hope at this point in time. We've got to revolutionize our thinking, our feeling. We have to revolutionize how we're seeing things so that we can see it from a higher perspective. We have to revolutionize how we think about God and the power of God to work things out. Because when you have hope, your light cannot be diminished. No matter how dark the experience, when you have hope, your light cannot be diminished. And we may go through some dark days, but if we have hope, we will also have the strength and the power to do what is ours to do. When you hold on to hope, an energy is released from within you, and that energy will propel you onward and upward. This is the nature of life. It is to go onward and upward. This is not our time to sit back and falter and just give up. No. Energy, God is moving us upward and onward. And when we have hope as an energy, that energy gets activated within us, and there'll be no stopping us. There'll be no quitting. Resting maybe, because we need to rest. Because, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm tired after all of this. So we might need to rest, but while I rest, you work. While you work, I get to rest. We're doing this together, but there will be no stopping. There'll be no quitting, because hope is going to move us, what? Upward and on us. And when we're resting, we're going to just simply be waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They should walk and not be weary, or run and faint not. That's okay. We're going to wait because our time is coming. The light will bear itself out. So, you know, we are gathering ourselves, replenishing our souls so that we can carry on. Carry on. We still have work to do. So I say, light bearers, it is time to shine on. The world needs our light. So you ready? Oh, you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go, let's go, let's go. Blessings, 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 let's go. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Yes. Amen, amen. Amen. All right.